Friends, I want to reflect a bit with you this morning about teaching. I want you to take just a moment, and on the back of your bulletin there, I want you to write down a name or two, if you have a pen with you there, a name or two of who have been the most impactful teachers in your life. Who taught you the most? Who has taught you the most effectively, perhaps? Who made the biggest breakthrough for you and opened your eyes on something or some subject in a way that few others have? It doesn't have to have been in a classroom or in a normal school setting. For now, I just want you to call to mind a person or two and an experience or two. An experience of having become excited about something, enlightened around something, of having had your heart and your energies opened to something new in a brand new way. Maybe the person that you're thinking of and the experience that you're thinking of comes to mind for you, that maybe that was a teacher in a classroom, or maybe it was a coach on a field. Maybe it was a parent. Maybe it was a pastor. Maybe it was a mentor in a fishing boat or in a wood shop or whatever. A cook in a kitchen. A pilot in a flight simulator. Just another human being with an important story to tell and a lesson to teach about life. And I hope that as you think about that a little bit this morning, some faces and some experiences are starting to come to mind already. And what I hope that we can most call to mind together this morning are not just people and experiences from whom we've learned something, but more than that, people and experiences of learning that somehow transmitted to us a passion for a thing. Insatiable curiosity, self-driven interest, fascination. Who has done that for you? When those thoughts start to come together for you, I have a second question that I hope will help us all to nudge in just a little bit more closely on the kinds of experience that I want to call to mind for us today. What was it about that person, that teacher, that experience that made it so impactful and so important for you? What did they do well? Why are they the ones that you've named rather than all the rest who've ever tried to impart their knowledge to you in your life? You can jot reasons why down next to those names there if you want to. But the really big question this morning that I want to get us all thinking on together is how these people and how these sorts of experiences open up new ways forward for us, and in ways that are almost easier to feel than they are to explain with our words. Teaching. Teaching, and most especially certain teachers and certain kinds of experiences of having been taught, they have a way of marking definitive transition points in our lives, don't they? Befores and afters. Before I found my passion and after. Before I discovered my calling in life and after. Teachers. And experiences of having been taught well, lovingly, inspirationally, compellingly. They mean everything, don't they? With the beginning of this new year, I began a new sermon series that I'm calling Beginning Again. It's been my hope and intention to have us look afresh together at the beginnings of our four Gospels, especially the Gospels of Mark and of John, to give us some inspiration and some direction for making new beginnings in our lives, particularly in our lives of the Spirit, and particularly when it comes to learning how to begin again after we've already tried beginning before. In the previous two sermons I've given in this series, we took a look at our beginnings with baptism and the beginnings or re-beginnings of our stories, especially how the gospel narratives themselves, in their own different ways, pick up that larger story of the people of Israel's dealings with their God and set forth the coming of Jesus as a brand new chapter, as an opportunity to start beginning again. I also had us look in that second week of the series at our beginnings in discipleship, at Philip and at Nathanael's starts there at the beginning of John's gospel, and what they seem to tell us about daring to allow ourselves to step forward spiritually again, even as in Nathanael's case, after a season of trial, of pain, and of healthy doubt. But today I want to look more closely at the place of teaching in these sorts of new beginnings. Because as I've already said, and as we've hopefully begun to call to mind from our own experiences already by now, teaching itself is so often the place where we find new passion, new energy, new excitement. Dare I say, where we encounter God's calling on our lives that can make possible those new roads ahead and that new inspiration to go forward into brand new things, even after we've had those frustrations of beginning and beginning and beginning again without much progress. Somehow, teaching and teachers and experiences of having been taught well, they stand to offer one of the greatest gifts and graces that life has to offer. A place, an opportunity in which to have our hearts captured again and breathed into again with a fresh zest for life. In today's scripture, Jesus and his early followers find themselves there in a synagogue in Capernaum, where on this particular Sabbath, Jesus walks right in and starts teaching, it says. Now, if you've read through your Gospels lately, you'll find that place, Capernaum, familiar. It's mentioned quite a lot in the four Gospels. It was located right there on the very tippy top of the Sea of Galilee, and it served as something like Jesus' home base while he was doing his ministry up in that region. I've actually been there once, and I've even stood myself on the ruins of that ancient synagogue. The version that stands there now in ruins is from a much later time and maybe a bit grander than that earlier one from Jesus' time was, but still you can imagine standing there what that morning must have felt like as that synagogue opens up its front doors onto the sea. You can imagine standing there that morning with a house, with a synagogue crowded full of people. Capernaum, tiny little town, actually can't be much bigger than this church property, as a matter of fact. And the doors of that grand building opening right up to that beautiful scene. And inside, on this particular morning, the people who are gathered there are finding themselves being astounded at a teaching. This is not a normal Sunday morning worship service. He's charged them up. He's got their attention. He's doing something very, very different that has grabbed their focus this time. Mark says in verse 22 here today, he says, "They were astounded at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes." What was he doing exactly, do you think? Now, I can probably imagine what it must have been like when those scribes were up at the lectern on a Saturday morning. Dry monotones droning on and on about minor insignificant details that turn out to be the most important distinctions you've ever heard in your life. Lengthy excursus about the meaning of words. Lots of quotes, lots of proof texts to show their audience just how smart they are. and how well read they are, more show than meat and spiritual food, perhaps. They would lull their hearers into a kind of spiritual boredom, you might say. But then, here's Jesus, who has jarred them, who has woken them up by speaking with a new kind of voice, with a new authority, by addressing things in their lives that are real. That are real. And I want you to imagine that with me, that sensation of being awakened this morning. I want you to physically feel that. Everybody do something for me. Everybody raise your hands. Arch those backs. And everybody, for a moment or two, I want you to lean forward and sit on the edge of your seat. Because Jesus has walked into the synagogue this morning. And it's a different kind of place. And the next thing you know, along with this teaching, there's a man crying out in the corner with a voice somewhere that's not his own. Tom, cry out for me. There we go. And then Jesus gets right to work in healing this man's illness right then and there. Right in the middle of church. Can you imagine that? Excitement in church. Consequential things going down in church. Lives being turned around, new starts being made possible right there in church. They were all amazed, Mark recounts. And they kept on asking one another, you can sit back in your seats. What is this? A new teaching. And with authority. It's almost as if they've never been taught before. It's almost as if they've never encountered the real thing. And because of that experience, Mark says that at once, that word we learned this morning in children's at the children's moment, immediately, right away, his fame began to spread throughout the region of Galilee because of his teaching. Friends, I want to talk to you about teaching this morning in connection with fresh new beginnings in our spiritual lives, because just look at the undeniable spiritual impact of Jesus' ministry of teaching. Teaching. These scribes, they are as boring as all get out. But look what starts to happen when the real thing shows up and the people are there to catch it. Is there something taking a hold here today? Something starting anew in the synagogue that morning? Suddenly, they find themselves in the way of something real and of something true. And things start moving and growing rather quickly. Prim and proper church is getting lively here today when the teacher starts speaking change and starts speaking healing and awakening and salvation into actual, visible lives. And there are two things that I want us all to ask ourselves today as we are faced with this scripture. Number one, am I putting myself in the way of the real thing? I can't answer that for you. Am I putting myself in the way of the real thing? That is, if teaching, and Jesus' teaching in particular, really does have this potential to reignite our lives and our passions and our drive for spiritual things, and if our own powerful experiences of teachers in our past and of being taught well and powerfully before have made the sorts of life-changing impressions on us that I suspect that they have, then why am I not allowing myself to come into contact with the real thing in my spiritual life. Why am I hiding from it? Why am I not putting myself in its way? Why am I content to miss it? If Jesus had shown up to give this sermon this morning, would you be disappointed? Maybe some folks in the synagogue that morning were upset because, despite the occasional yawner, at least the scribes would leave them alone and keep them safe from change. At least the scribes would insulate them from any real contact with spiritual substance. Maybe they were upset because some of them weren't teachable. They've made up their minds on everything already. They already know it all, and they're uncomfortable receiving and risking tipping that apple cart. Maybe some of them were coming to the synagogue to hear the pastor speak back to them things that they already believe to be true, rather than to allow themselves to be stretched, challenged, grown. So where are we putting ourselves into contact with the real thing? Exposing ourselves to real teaching that pushes us all to grow. Number two, and the second question, I want to challenge us all with today is on the flip side of that equation. This one is to us all as actual or potential teachers of our own kind. Where in your teaching, where in your mentoring and your walking alongside are you leaning into the real thing, the real stuff of spiritual substance? Where are we taking the risk of learning from the master in our ways of teaching, in our ways of shepherding? Where are we taking our cues from Jesus to extend the invitation and ignite with real passion for the real stuff of this life? Where are we holding ourselves back from that? Not really allowing ourselves to live fully into what Jesus is calling us to be in our mentoring and in our shepherding. Too often we settle for platitudes and vague generalizations rather than just lay it all out there with the real full stuff, the real thing. Here is Jesus today showing up authentically and powerfully, stripping away all of the formalities and being real with these people, meeting them exactly where they are. How can we all learn to enter those spaces and relationships in our lives with an eye towards how Jesus entered the synagogue on that particular day? Church, I bring these questions today because they matter. They matter both for our new beginnings, but also for the beginnings and the beginnings again that we're all called to extend and make possible in the world around us. As we offer others in our lives an onboarding opportunity, a way forward into something new and life-giving, will we come alongside like Jesus did, with compassion and with power and with authority to speak into their lives and to be the ones to help inspire those new possibilities for pathways forward? May God make it so. May our lives and our leadership opportunities more closely resemble His life and His leadership day by day. And all of God's people said, Amen. Amen.